Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Jay Gruden time, and on air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Lincoln and Chantilly, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tedbert for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
Let's talk to Jay Gruden on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Jay, I know it was a seventh straight loss, but last night felt a little different. The Commanders battled. They gave the Broncos all they could handle, went to overtime. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a great game. I thought Marcus played his ass off, and defensively, they did some pretty good things. They stopped the run game, except for a couple hits by Harvey. But they played hard, man. It was what you kind of expect from a Coach Quinn team, a team that won't lay down. They'll not quit. They'll continue to play hard. And came down to the last play. Unfortunately, Benito got up in the air about a 48-inch vertical and knocked the ball down.
The offense, to me, was what was most impressive in this game because Denver's defense is as good as there is in this sport. How are they able to move the ball, run the ball most specifically, and maybe take a shot or two down the field? Just look like a different group against an excellent defense, Jay.
Yeah, I think Marcus did a great job. He utilized all parts of the field. He worked the outside lanes. He worked your crossing routes of Ertz. You know, Terry had a couple nice hits across the middle. Debo got loose late down the sideline. They did a good job going against Riley Moss. Didn't have his best day, so they worked matchups, and they worked the holes in the zones. And I think Clift had a great game calling plays, and Marcus executed quite nicely, I thought.
I'd have to look at a heat map to confirm this, but it felt to me like the middle of the field passing game was way more prevalent than it's been for most of this season, and I wonder why that is. Do you think that's a Terry effect? I mean, a couple of those were 19 and 21-yard kind of deep overs to Ertz and beating zone.
Yeah, I think that and, you know, good play design and good patience by Marcus and good accuracy by him, you know, getting it over the linebackers or between the linebackers. Those aren't easy throws. You got to have some great touch and accuracy and precision, and Marcus did that. And Terry does help out a lot. I'm just telling you, he takes two sometimes. Sertan is a great corner, but they did a good job, just working the holes in the zones.
And they ran it well too, Jay. Specifically, what did you see in the run game from Washington that impressed you?
They did run it well, and I was impressed with the entire operation of the offense. And again, going against people think the number one defense in the league, they actually move the ball quite easily, it looked like, and down the field. A bad pass by Mariota on the interception early in the game, but for the most part, they were moving people. And Tunsil on the left side of the offensive line were getting some movement, and I think the right side of the line was getting some movement. So they were doing a good job, effective blocking, and good vision by the backs. Rodriguez had some good hits, and Merritt only had 4 carries for 20 yards, but they did good. It was a good all-around football game against the number one team in the AFC. They look like the better team.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny, making some sense of what we watched last night. Are you with me that going for two in overtime was the obvious and only decision to make?
Well, that's why you defer the kick in overtime, because if the team goes down and scores, you know exactly what you have to do. You got to go down and score, so you have 4 downs to do it, and then you go for two if you score a touchdown and win the game and get the hell out of there. That's the whole reasoning behind deferring. I think for sure 100,000% that was the right move to go for two. If you kick the extra point, then you got to kick off, and if they get in field goal range, they're going to get the ball at the 35-yard line. All they need is about 20 yards, kick, field goal, game's over. So 100% the right call.
So it's interesting because I am with you that I would go second. I would do it Washington did and take the ball so that I have the four downs to go score the touchdown if need be. But I have heard, I was just reading up on this week, this logic now, where some teams prefer to go first. And the idea is if both teams score or get field goals or something, that there's only time generally for like three possessions in a 10-minute overtime. What's your thought on that?
100% wrong. I coached in Arena League played in Arena League for 20 years. We had the same overtime rule, and everybody always deferred. You want to see what the team does first. If they hold them to a field goal, then you know you can kick a field goal for a tie. You don't want to do that, but you score. You'll have four downs to get it. That's the most important thing. Punting doesn't come into play. So you have an extra down to figure out what you have to do. And if they score a touchdown, then you go down and score and do what Washington did, go for two and win the game. So I am on board with what Washington did. And if I were coaching, I would do that every single time. It cost the 49ers the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. They went first. They kicked the field goal, and Chiefs came down, scored a touchdown, game over.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. So Joe Witt got, I don't know what you want to call it, demoted, removed his play calling duties, whatever the fancy term is, but he didn't get fired or anything. But he's not calling the defensive plays anymore. Dan Quinn is. They've had two games now where, again, I understand they're not playing the 99 Rams or anything, but defensively they just looked better in all facets, whether it's tackling, making things a little bit less easy on the opponents, et cetera. What have you seen specifically from this defense, and why do you think it's playing better here these last couple of weeks?
I don't have a reason for that, really. I think the interior guys are playing better. Deron Payne showed up and had a nice game last night. They're getting decent coverage. You think Lattimore being out, they'd struggle on the outside, but they did a good job against the speed of Mims and the speed of Franklin. They didn't really have an impact to the game. Sutton had a nice touchdown on the scramble play, but they're covering pretty good. They're changing up their intent on what they're doing coverage-wise. They're mixing up zone and man very well, confusing the quarterbacks. They're getting just enough heat to make the quarterback uncomfortable. So I think he's done a great job calling plays and changing up his coverages, man, zone, and what type of zones he's playing. So that always is very, very important. And if you do change it up, you got to have a decent four-man rush. And they got some decent pressure last night. Not great pressure, but good enough pressure to make Bo Nix uncomfortable.
Based on how things have trended, I would think, if you're running the team, at the end of the year, you tell them, hey, we're going to have somebody else calling plays next year, right? Is there a path to going back to him this offseason to be your play caller defensively?
I think that's up to Coach Quinn, how much he wants on his plate as the head coach and play caller on defense. And I think this is a good test for him. I know he's been head coach before in Atlanta. I'm not sure if he called defenses in Atlanta, but, it's all Coach what he feels comfortable with. And or if he has a play caller that he has in mind that's going to be on the streets. And it'll be 7 or 8 coaches are going to be fired this year in the NFL again, so there's going to be some good coordinators available. So if he finds a coordinator that he likes that calls plays, he'll probably do it. Otherwise, I think he'll do it himself again.
How hard is that to both call plays and manage all the logistics of, timeouts and game stuff?
I think defensively probably not quite as hard as offense. I hate to say that just because I'm an offensive guy, but it's very difficult offensively because in between possessions, too, you got to be involved in, hey, man, this is what we're seeing. This is the blitz we got. We got to pick it up here. We got to make sure we audible here. Here's where your read should have been, blah, 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 blah. And then there's a game going on. Hey, coach, you want to challenge this play? So it becomes very difficult to really handle your responsibilities as a coordinator and head coach at the same time. Not many people do it, but it's a lot of guys do it and are very, very successful. But it is difficult.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny. With the loss, the Commanders now have the 6th pick in the draft this coming year. If there are some studs staring them in the face, would you be inclined to just, take either a wide receiver or some game-changing defensive presence if that's how you evaluate it? Or do you think because they've had the fewest picks of any team last year and they're in line to have the fewest picks again this year in the first 4 rounds, do you think they have to trade back?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it depends on the stud. It really does. I think if there's a lot of drafts, there's only 7 or 8 really, really good players. If there's only 7 or 8 really good players that can have immediate impact on your team, then I keep it. But if it's kind of like a hodgepodge mix, or maybe you're not sure that's a tackle, he's pretty good, or a defensive lineman, then I probably trade back. But if there's a guy I'm in love with, I'm taking him without a doubt.
Jay, a lot of the young guys from last year aren't really getting large roles. Ben Sinnott didn't have a target yesterday, even though they targeted tight ends 16 times. You go through what Johnny Newton's losing snaps to a lot of veterans. I understand he may not be playing that great. And I'm not saying, I know football's different than other sports in terms of tanking or whatever, but wouldn't you be able to work those guys in at least a little bit at this point? Or what, don't you think that's what they should be doing to some degree? Like, I'm not saying, again, you give Benson Ertz's target share. He got 13 targets. You can't throw two of those, a little screen or something, to the guy that you drafted in the second round last year to try to see what you have here down the stretch as you've already, you know, solidified a losing season? Just give me your thoughts there.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I just, unless Ben has just been a total disappointment in practice and he's not doing very well catching the ball, running routes, and blocking. You know, you don't want to put your team in harm's way, you know, to try to develop a player who's not playing very good. So he's got to earn his reps, and he's got to earn them in practice. He's got to do a good job in practice, make sure he knows his assignments. And when he's asked to do something on scout team, make big plays on scout teams to show that, hey, I deserve some more reps. Right now, I think the reason he's not playing is Zach is playing pretty good, and probably Ben hasn't cracked the door open with his ability to earn some reps. So it goes both ways, but I do think at some point they got to try to get him in there, see what he has. And some guys actually perform better on game day than they do in practice. So you got to see what kind of guy you have in Benson. I think, yeah, you get him some reps.
Former Washington head coach Jay Gruden.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on Grant and Danny. So Shefty came out with a report on Sunday morning, something to the effect of, hey, you know, don't forget Jaden Daniels was limited in practice all week, still hasn't been cleared for contact, not a guarantee he plays against the Vikings. I felt like that was a little bit of a hedge that maybe we don't see him in Minnesota, which we'll get into later in the show. But my question to you as a coach is, if he's cleared for contact like Wednesday this week, is that an okay trajectory for him to play Sunday, or do you want him to have a full practice of being cleared for contact? Because it's not like you're really getting contact in practice anyway. So is there an amount of days clearance where you'd like to have, or could it happen Saturday and he plays Sunday?
I think it could happen whenever it happens, really. The coach's quarterbacks don't get hit in practice anyway. Cleared for contact is just a cool way of saying he's ready to go. So I don't know. I think as long as he's getting some reps in 7-on-7 and some of the team drills, then I think he'll be okay to play. And obviously it depends on how he feels and how he, you know, if he's going to brace up the arm, what he's going to do with his arm. But the way Marcus is playing, maybe they don't rush him back this week. You know, give him another full week of practice the following week and then let him finish out, let him get the major group of reps against the Eagles and Cowboys when they have to play those guys.
Jay, their first drive last night, talking about Washington, 4th and 8 from the Denver 39. That's a 56-yard field goal. I understand you don't trust your kicker at this point, who you just, you know, dropped someone else for and picked up. But isn't this a great time to see if, you know, the young man has grown it all and maybe he could do something right there? And if he doesn't make it, okay, maybe, you know, you're aggressive and maybe you lose. I couldn't believe that. And I also couldn't believe the reaction that it seemed people were totally fine with punting in enemy territory from Denver's 39 right there. Talking about that Washington first possession.
Yeah, I think a lot has to do with the confidence they have in the kicker. You know, they just got the kicker, they cut Gay, and they missed his butt. They've had a bad experience with him. They just got this guy off the streets. I know he's kicked in the NFL before. Maybe he says, you know what, I don't feel really good about this kick. The wind's in my face a little bit, working with a new holder. We're better off punting here and backing up the Denver Broncos and playing good defense. So a lot goes into that decision. You know, I don't think going for it was the right call. Sometimes punting and trying to back him up. Tressway is a very good punter. He's very good at pinning people back inside the 10-yard line. So, yeah, I think some of it had to do with a kicker saying, you know what, coach, I'm not really sure about this one. So, let's punt.
Well, it's also his first kick with a new organization. He's missed a bunch of kicks in his career, and it's tying his career high from 57, which he hasn't done in 3 years. I mean, it's not like it was a 49-yard field goal. So I just think, how do you want to start his career? You want to trot him out there from 57 to miss his first kick and kind of now he's chasing it a little bit? I have no interest in that.
For whatever reason, it's always harder. You know, if it was turf, a dome, but that field is hard for kickers for some reason. There's a lot of I'd like somebody to pull up a stat on kickers, 56 to, you know, 58-yard field goal attempts in that stadium. On that field, I don't think it'd be very high.
Yeah, and on that end of the field, too, which is like opposite where you guys come out of the tunnel in the press box, I guess that would be called like the north level end of the field. It's actually, I would guarantee you, I've seen way more misses on that end of the field than the other one.
That's true. That's a good point. I'm impressed with your knowledge of kicking.
Thank you, Jay. That's why they pay me the not very big
tens
money.
Of dollars for that, Jay.
That's why they pay me in single digits. Let's bounce around the league really quickly, Jay, before we let you go. I know you're traveling today. You're at the airport. Want to talk NFC North. I have not thought the Bears were going to hold on to win this division, but not only do they lead the North right now, they lead the conference at 9-3. They're the one seed after the Rams loss this weekend. Ben Johnson's cooking with grease here. Do you think Chicago hangs on in the North? They still have the lowest odds of all the teams currently in the playoffs to actually make the playoffs, despite being the one seed.
The style that they're playing with, absolutely they can. You know, they're going to play in cold weather in Green Bay or Chicago or whatever it is later in the year. And the physicality that they play with on offense and defense, they absolutely can. Their running game is unbelievable. Their offensive line, they did a great job in the offseason getting the center and the two guards that can really dominate the interior part of the line of scrimmage. They beat the hell out of Jalen Carter and the Philadelphia Eagles last week. And if they can continue to dominate the line of scrimmage like that, open up holes for Swift and Melangene, whatever his name is, hell yeah, they can do it. I mean, this is a violent bunch up front. So I've been impressed with Ben Johnson, what he's done. You think of a creativity that he calls plays with, but really it's his ability to stick with the run and run the power running game that really – really knocks people around and gives the Bears an excellent chance to win the North.
How about this? Lambeau Field Sunday, 425, Bears-Packers, 14 degrees expected at Lambeau Field with 10-mile-an-hour winds.
And that's perfect for the way the Bears play. They're not asking Caleb to do a whole lot, man. They're handing the ball off, and they'll do some naked bootlegs and throw a trick play in there every now and then, and they're bludgeoning people, and then they're very opportunistic on defense. Dennis Allen's done a great job at that unit, and they got very good corners, and they got a safety that I think is one of the best safeties in the NFL, and they're very good. They're a good football team, and I think they do hang on to win a North.
Well, Jay, what's going on with the team they just beat, the Eagles? They all of a sudden look like the discord is winning. Usually there's a lot of discord, and they thrive, and despite of it, now it looks like a couple years ago where they're kind of falling apart.
Yeah, they got no rhythm on offense, anything that they're doing. They can't run the ball. They're stuck in second and long, third and long a lot. Saquon's not hitting the home runs, and they're forcing Jalen to throw. And Jalen's not a third down and six plus quarterback. He's just not. He's more of a first, second down guy, the RPO type guy, the bubble screens. You know, throw a slant or a go ball to A.J. Brown or Devontae, but asking him to read coverages and pick up blitzes and all, that's not his forte. You know, so they have not been put in good situations as far as the stick management is concerned. Their offensive play caller is new. He's struggling. Jalen doesn't look very comfortable. The offense is frustrated, and their offensive line is not the same as last year. They're not moving people like they did. Saquon's not having the year, so they're struggling.
Staying in the division, how many teams right now are better than a Cowboys group that beat the Eagles and Chiefs in a five-day span?
Well, I said the Cowboys are the best team in football right now, and people killed me. I really think they are. You know, they may not even make the playoffs, but I think right now, the way they're playing offensive football, they're the best. And adding Quinton Williams and Clark on the defensive front totally revamped that defense. And then Overshawn is one of the better linebackers, healthy. He can run sideline to sideline. So it's hard to run inside. Then you try to get outside on the perimeter, and there's Overshawn guys everywhere. So offensively, they're as good as there is in football. So Dak is playing unbelievable. Pickens has emerged as probably a top two or three receiver in the league, and CD's top two or three. So they got weapons all across the board. I like what Dallas is doing. I like their team. And I wouldn't want to play Dallas if I was anybody in the playoffs. That's for damn sure.
The Ravens had won, what was it, five straight games coming out of the bye week. But the last three or four of them, I know it's hard to win in the NFL, Jay, but they didn't quite look particularly good against the Jets and the Browns and a beat-up Vikings team. They won those games, you give them credit, but they got exposed yesterday, it feels like, or Thursday, rather, against the Bengals. Looked terrible in that game. What's their deal?
Yeah, I don't know. Lamar's not the same right now. I think he might have some health issues with his knee. He's not making people miss. They're not throwing the ball very good. They're having some drops. He's missing some throws that he doesn't normally miss. And they're very similar to Philadelphia. Their offense is just sputtering for whatever reason, despite having pretty damn good players. You know, they still have Derrick Henry. They got Zay Flowers, had zero catches last week. They're not getting people involved in the offense. There's no big play ability for them. So everything is hard for them on offense right now, and they have to change it. They got to manufacture some big plays somehow to get some juice back in their offense because defensively I don't think they can hold up.
We've talked to you about the Panthers over the last few weeks and just how not fun they are to play. But how about the win they pulled off against the Rams, 31-28, to get to 7-6? The Rams came in maybe the best, certainly the hottest team in the NFL. They picked off Matt Stafford twice. Bryce Young throws for a couple hundred yards and three touchdowns. I don't know if Carolina gets in or not, but the way they run the ball and as opportunistic as they are on the back end defensively, man, that's a team that jumps up on people.
Yeah, and they did it without their best corner. So, yeah, they're an interesting team. They've been hot and cold all year long. I mean, they either beat the best team or they lose by 30. I don't understand this team. They're hard to figure out. Bryce Young is also the same way. He looks great one week and looks like he's never played quarterback before. So, yeah, I've been impressed with Carolina and the way they're playing.
Give me a Chargers scouting report. They're 8-4, but I feel like they're oft overlooked because of that little losing streak they went on. They're getting a little bit healthier. They look pretty good this weekend.
The Chargers?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think it all depends on these tackles. I don't know what the status is of Alton Slater. I don't know if they're coming back or not, but that's going to be a big issue for them. If they get those guys back, then yes, they're contenders for sure. If not, they're not very good up front. So it's tackle-dependent for me, but I know Justin Herbert's a hell of a player defensively. Derwin James, they got some guys that can get after the ball, so they'll be in it, but they need the tackles back to be able to run the ball and be able to protect Justin.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny hopping around the NFL. The Texans are 7-5. They beat the Colts 20-16. If Denver's not the best defense in the NFL, Houston is. I mean, if you don't get 4 yards on first down, you're cooked against them behind the sticks now, second and third. Will Anderson's playing at a level that would be a DPOY winner any other season other than if Myles Garrett, you know, wasn't about to break the sacks record like he's going to. Is Houston going to win the South, do you think, or Jacksonville, Indianapolis still, in your opinion, more likely?
Well, it's going to come down to the wire. I think they all play each other. So I like Houston a lot. I love their defense. I love C.J. Stroud. Nico Collins, the beast. So, yes, I think Houston is the best team in that division right now. Do they have the firepower, and can they hold off Indianapolis and catch Jacksonville? I think they catch Jacksonville, but I don't know about Indianapolis. Indianapolis is struggling right now. Daniel Jones has not looked very good the last 3 or 4 weeks. So if Daniel Jones can get back on track and Jonathan Taylor can get back to his 150-160-yard games, then Indy will be tough to catch. But if they force Indy to throw, then I think Houston catches them.
Jay, always awesome, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you, guys.
You got it, man. On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Lincoln and Chantilly, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.